WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
Canadian novelist and social critic Mordecai Richler died Tuesday at the age of 70 of complications related to kidney cancer. Richler was best known for his comic novels satirizing Jewish life in Montreal, such as The Apprenticeship of Judy Kravitz and Joshua Then and Now, both of which he adapted into films, and for his criticism of the Quebec separatist movement. Richler grew up in a Jewish immigrant working-class section of Montreal. As soon as he came of age at 18, he not only got out of the neighborhood, he left Canada and Jewish culture. After 21 years abroad, he returned to Montreal in 1972. I spoke with him in 1987.
I've always wanted to know what your bar mitzvah was like, because there's a very funny bar mitzvah scene in The Apprenticeship of Judy Kravitz.
And oh, that had nothing to do with my own.
Well, there's this scene where somebody comes in and decides to make a documentary film on the bar mitzvah, and yes. It always made me wonder what yours was like.
Oh, well, no, mine was a very quiet little affair in a pokey little Orthodox synagogue, corner shul. And it was a very Orthodox community. I came from a very Orthodox family, and then we all had honey cake and whiskey, and that was it.
It was the year your parents divorced, wasn't it?
Yes, it was, yeah. So it was not the happiest of times, no.
Was there a lot of tension around how the bar mitzvah was going to be handled, or whether you were being pious enough in your learning of the prayers?
Well, I'd been quite responsible about being pious enough. I'd studied for about 6 or 8 months in order to read a portion from the Torah and to conduct the services. But there were family frictions, yes.
You went through years of your life, I think, not speaking with your grandfather. He roughed you up once. This is the way you describe it, after you...
My paternal grandfather, yes. We did not get on, no.
Yeah, because you had violated the Sabbath once, and
that's right.
And
yes.
He roughed you up, and that was it. You didn't talk to him again.
That's right.
How come the falling out was so serious?
Well, I guess you're... I wrote a piece for Esquire called My Father's Life. Is that what you're
I think so, talking, yeah.
Yes. Well, my grandfather was a very bad-tempered, relentlessly Orthodox Jew, and he ran a junkyard, and I discovered him not being entirely honest on the scales with some people who came in, and that was the end of it all for me. I no longer accepted his authority on any moral issues. And I did not make any secret of this, and I guess it was not a delightful thing to come from a 12 or 13-year-old. So naturally, he objected strenuously. And there was just bad feeling between us from then on until he died.
After seeing Joshua Then and Now, I think everybody wondered if you had a father who was a small-time criminal.
No, my father was a very honest and gentle man. And my father's never been to a boxing match in his life, or never mind being a retired boxer or a small-time criminal. No, I had nothing to do with my father at all. It was a total invention.
Would you describe the neighborhood you grew up in?
Well, I guess it's not very different from a neighborhood in Brooklyn or Boston. It was a almost totally Jewish neighborhood. It was working class. And except for nuances, which were strictly Canadian, again, it was no different from being a young boy in working class Brooklyn or the Bronx, I think.
One difference I could see is that in Montreal, most people probably identify with either England or France, and you're from a family from Eastern Europe.
The Jewish community in Quebec or in the province or largely in Montreal always identified with the English-speaking world because, of course, English was the language of success in that country or on this continent. However, they are among the most bilingual people in the country. But that has been a complaint of the French, that the Jewish immigrants identified with the English minority.
You've picked up Jewish inflections really well in your writing, when you're writing about people who speak that way. Well, when you were young and growing up, did you ever feel any sense of embarrassment at Yiddish or Jewish accents in your family?
Yes, alas, I did it when I got out into the larger world. But then these things have a way of boomeranging, because then we lived in England and had five children there, my wife and myself. And I think at one point they were ashamed of our colonial accent, so we got our just desserts much later.
Why did you return to Montreal after 21 years?
Well, it never occurred to me that I could ever become an Englishman. we'd lived there all those years, and it was really rather wonderful. And my wife misses London very much to this day, as I do to some extent. But after I'd written a novel called St. Urban's Horseman, I felt I could no longer write novels if I stayed on in England, because I hadn't been born there and brought up there. And a novelist has to be filled with a lot of very foolish and banal detail, like you have to know who the football players were, what price the haircut was, where you got fish and chips. And if you had to sit down and research these things, it all became rather frantic and foolish, because that wasn't the important stuff. It should have been there at your disposal. And so I felt if I stayed on in England, I would not be writing more novels, but I'd just be writing films. And so my family, who are all very loyal, understood, and we came back to Canada. And then I was able to travel a good deal in America, and I'd never really been an adult on this continent.
When you returned to Canada and you started meeting your Canadian readers, were you surprised at how your work was being received there?
Well, no, it's a bit deceptive in that over the last 10 years in England, I was back in Canada at least once a year on an assignment of some kind. So it wasn't a surprise or foreign territory to me, really. I had been to and fro an awful lot.
I think some Canadians interpreted your work as being as defaming the Jews and defaming Canada. How did you react to that?
Well, my Jewish problem really began and ended with The Apprenticeship of Dirty Kravitz, which offended a lot of people in the Jewish community in Montreal. It's about a boy with his eye on the main chance who doesn't always behave in the most civil manner. But Dirty Kravitz was not meant as a metaphor for the Jewish people. He was a kind of boy I grew up with and knew very well. My Canadian problem is that I'm not a nationalist or a cultural nationalist, and I've written, I guess, at length here and there, ridiculing certain aspects of cultural nationalism. So it would not be unfair to say I'm not the most popular man in cultural circles there, or in some cultural circles.
Mordecai Richler, recorded in 1987. He died Tuesday at the age of 70 of complications related to kidney cancer.